I'm returning from a vacation in Florida, and we spent about five days, four nights there, and it was a beautiful time. Reminded me of the days we lived there. It was hot, very hot, but the beach was beautiful. The water was warm. I see that we have a couple of visitors here today. Jillian, does your husband speak Romanian at all? No, a little bit? Okay. Well, congratulations, and God bless you all. So I'm just going to speak specifically in English today. While we were down there, one of the evenings we went out for a walk, and it was a nice, beautiful evening. Evenings got down to maybe it was like the 70s, upper 70s. And while we were walking down the sidewalk there, we noticed somebody was laying in the middle of the sidewalk. We were surprised and shocked. And my brother-in-law looked and said, "Oh my gosh, look at this lady down here." So we go, we look at her, literally laying the full width of the sidewalk on the ground. And we get to her, and the first question is, "Ma'am, are you okay?" She just kind of mumbles, "Ma'am, are you okay? Are you all right?" She picks up her head, she looks at us, looks around. One of the Legia who was there with us is a nurse, so she goes to her immediately, "Can we help you? Do you need something?" And she looks up, and she says, this is her response, "Look around you. If everything's all right, look around you." And just puts her head back down. Well, we didn't really smell any alcohol on her, so we weren't sure, is she intoxicated? What's going on? We said, okay, she seems to be fine. She says she's fine. Let's go. Let's move on. She says she's fine. And one of the people with us says, no, we can't leave her like this. I mean, look at her. She's on the ground. She's clearly not fully coherent. So again, we ask, and I go, "Hey, are you okay, ma'am? Are you all right? Do you have a car?" We saw a car that was on just in the parking lot. Again, we're thinking, what if she gets up and she's intoxicated and she drives and hits somebody? We felt like we had a responsibility. And she lifts her head up, looks at us, at all of us that were around her, and she says, "Why are you acting so bizarre?" And then just puts her head back down. Okay. We continue walking, and again, somebody who was with us said, "We have to call." So this person picks up the phone, says, "There's this woman who's laying on the sidewalk. She appears to be intoxicated, disoriented. We're not sure. We saw a car that was on. We don't know if she's going to be driving it." And the caller on the phone says, "Excuse me, sir, do you have a cough?" He's like, I'm calling about this person. "Do you have a cough, or have you been around somebody who has had a cough lately? Do you have a fever?" "No, I don't." "Okay, good, good." And then he goes on and gives the information regarding the lady. What a weird situation. Very bizarre. If there's one analogy or one image that maybe depicts America right now, might be a disoriented, intoxicated lady on the sidewalk. People are coming by. You look at our culture, and it's funny, but it's also sad. Say it slightly with some trembling. It's very sad. Because you look at the woman on the ground and you say, "Woman, are you okay?" And she looks at you and said, "Look around you. Everything appears to be all right. Why are you acting so bizarre?" Those who are upright, who are trying to live by the truth of God and are trying to see things clearly and coherently, with a sober mind, you're looking at the world and you're saying, "What's going on?" And they're looking at you and saying, "Why are you acting so bizarre? Let us handle our things. Don't you see? You're out of the norm. You're behaving strange. You're behaving odd. But don't you see something is wrong? You're on the sidewalk. Get up. Get sober-minded. You call for help. What do the people tell you? What's going on with you? What's your problem? Do you have a cough? Do you have a fever? What about the woman? What about the nation on the ground?" And the peculiar thing is that we as Christians have this thing that we claim to be the truth of God. We claim that it is authoritative. We claim that it's inerrant. We claim that it speaks to all things, and that is the Bible, a book. Is it just a book? 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, 66 books. My dad used to listen to this gentleman called Chuck Misler, and he would say, the Bible is an integrated message system that comes from outside of our space-time domain. And it was given to us. It's almost like a matrix. It's a comprehensive matrix through which we can see all things. It doesn't speak to all things, But we can see all things clearly when we use it appropriately. And this is the world in which we live. And I had the privilege to sit with the young people. And I'm speaking to the young people today because if you're living in this world, you don't even know how to respond to things. There's no sense of right, wrong, up, left, right. You don't know what is the authority. And, you know, in this, one of the things I learned from Ravi Zacharias is when you look at worldviews and people try to tell you and pitch you a worldview, every worldview answers four basic questions. Answers where do we come from, our origins. We have that in Genesis. Genesis actually means beginnings. Then we talk about what is your meaning and purpose on this earth? Why are we here? Then we talk about questions of morality. What is right? What is wrong? Is there a north? Is there a south? Is there a left? Is there a right? And then finally we have discussions or, you know, on what eschatology, where is things going? What is our destiny? And listen very carefully, because the Word of God claims to be authoritative within itself. It claims to tell you what is right and what is wrong. And we're living in a culture that after modernism, we built things up through modernism, and then postmodernism destroyed and basically went through a deconstruction. Because the deconstruction was there is no truth. Modernism said, well, we can at least use the intellect to determine what is right and what is wrong. In postmodernism, it was there is no right and there is no wrong. You determine what that is. Whatever you're feeling, it's subjective. In fact, whatever we here in this circle declare to be right and wrong, that is right and wrong. So it becomes societally based. It's relativity. And this is the result of relativity, where we are today. This is the result of a postmodern world. You're wondering, where does postmodernism leave? Welcome to 2020. Postmodernism leads you into a disoriented, intoxicated ideology where you can't make sense of anything. But there are people that are confident in their intoxication. There are people that are confident in their disorientation. And they'll fight you for it. Who are you to claim that there is truth? What is your truth? Well, it's what I'm feeling. And one of the big problems, and for those of you who are getting ready to go to university, you're going to encounter this problem. When you meet somebody and they say, you know, you might get into an ethics class. How do you know what is right and what is wrong? You're going to say the Bible. Your ethics professor is going to look at you like you're crazy. What do you mean the Bible? The Bible? How do you know the Bible is authoritative? And you're going to say, because the Bible says it is. Immediately, he's going to think he has you cornered. Why? Because he's going to say, that's a logical fallacy. You've just done circular reasoning. Circular reasoning, what do you mean? Yeah, you can't use the Bible to determine that the Bible is authoritative and then go on to propagate what the Bible says. That's circular reasoning. Okay, now follow me just for a second. So you're going to ask your philosophy professor, again, listen here, young people. You're going to ask your philosophy professor, how do you know what is right and what is wrong? Well, we determine societally. Okay, the society determines what is right, what is wrong. Why are people valuable? Oh, well, we've done an assessment, an empirical assessment, where we've looked at all of the generations, all of history. We've seen that through evolutionary theory, survival of the fittest, we've come up, and now we can determine what is right and what is wrong. Okay, who determines that? How do you determine that? We determine that with our mind, with our thinking, with our empirical analysis. Oh, so through your empirical analysis, you've made an empirical investigation to determine what is right and what is wrong? So your thinking is circular. The only difference is that your authority is yourself, the scientific method, and your mind, and my authority is the Bible, which is the revelation of God, the transcendent word of God, the integrated message system, 66 books that come from outside of our space-time domain that reveals to us how we should pursue and relate to the world. So don't ever forget, if somebody tells you your thinking is circular, tell them it's impossible to not think circular. Any argument you're going to make, especially a secularist who's thinking just using his mind, we've used science and we've deduced through science that we can determine what is right and what is wrong. Well, how did you make that determination? Oh, it's because we determined as a society and we used our mind to do so. Okay, that's circular too. Just to encourage you really quick, and this is what was my theme for the authority in culture. Is the Bible authoritative? Does it say that it's authoritative? Well, do you think that if Jesus Christ quotes the Bible and says it's authoritative, that it should be authoritative? I mean, it's a pretty big question. Did Jesus Christ quote from the Bible? Did he utilize? Now, the Bible, as we know, it would be the Old Testament, the Torah, the initial 39 books, right? And in Matthew 22, I'm going to give you just a quick example if you want to jot this down. Matthew 22, there's a debate where the Sadducees come to him. The Sadducees were kind of like the empiricists of the day, where they said there is no resurrection, afterlife. Everything is just what's tangible, what we can touch, taste, see, and feel, and there is no afterlife. Well, Jesus Christ responds to them when they come to him with a question. They ask, is there going to be marriage, or what do we do with a brother who dies, and you know what happens to his kids? And he says, Jesus replies to them, you are in error. And we can say to America, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. So Jesus or Christ had an ultimate authority. It was his communication with the Father in prayer, but it was also the scripture, the written word of God. So Jesus Christ thought it was valuable. The Apostle Paul, when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, he says to him, from infancy you have known the holy scriptures. Again, what we would consider to be Genesis to Malachi, the Torah being the central portion of the first five books, which are able to make you wise for salvation. So salvation is in the scriptures through faith in Jesus Christ, but by faith, right? All scripture is God-breathed. Not just like inspired intuitively, but like literally God indwelt the writers. He put in them the ideas, activated their imagination to write down the words. Useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correct. We all need some rebuking. We all need some correcting from time to time. And the word of God should do that. And training in righteousness, uprightness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Holy Scriptures should be our authority. And the last verse I want to leave you with, you ask, well, is Paul, the Apostle Paul. And you know, already if you're thinking personal, well, the Apostle Paul, sure, maybe the Old Testament and the Torah was inspired, but is the New Testament, well, did Paul know? Paul didn't have the Holy Scriptures like we have it today. Did he know he was going to be canonized? And that we would have the Bible and the 66 books would be the Apostle Paul's writing would be in it? Well, here's what Peter says. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:16, his, Paul's letters, contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, happening still today, as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. So in Peter's mind, what the Apostle Paul was writing was considered to be equivalent, as inspired and as prophetic in nature as the Old Testament. The encouragement for us is this today, that we have an authority. We're living in a disoriented, in an intoxicated world right now. We have to be able to rely upon something. And I would say to you, if you're a young person, your best bet is the Word of God. The ultimate truth, where reality is revealed and where what a relationship with the creator of this universe looks like through Jesus Christ. May God help us to see the truth for what it is and know Christ as he is revealed in the scriptures. Amen.